Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Well, I'm excited to give you another portrait, these portraits of love that God gives us. We see in the Word of God. And we have another one from Jesus today in a parable that's very familiar to you. But it's the parable of the sower, and we're going to call it actually the parable of the soils, because that's a little more direct, his meaning. The real meaning of the variable, the changeableness of the whole situation is the soil. What kind of soil receives the seed? So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13. You can get your Bible ready, and I hope you will follow along as we consider what God wants to say to us. So let's just pick it up in chapter 13. In chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, he told the parable of the sower. Sower went out to sow the seed. But then in verses 18 through 23 of the same chapter, it's one of the few parables that we have a record of Jesus interpreting that parable and telling us exactly what it means. Now, remember, a parable is designed to give us one kind of main idea. And the idea here is at the end of the parable of fruitfulness. The seed that gets in the right soil, it grows, it flourishes, and it returns a harvest to the sower who planted it. And we are to be living lives of fruitfulness. There's one of the reasons Jesus includes this parable at this time in his ministry is because the Old Testament had prophesied that the Messiah was coming. The Messiah had come in the person of the Lord Jesus. And as Jesus came onto the scene, there were some who believed in him. There were some who rejected him. And Jesus gives an explanation to his disciples. Not everybody's going to believe. Not everybody's going to receive me. And the difference is there's different soils out there. And there's different reactions to the truth of the seed, the message of the kingdom coming. And that also helps us in ministry because not everybody we share Christ with is going to respond positively. And we understand that. That means we continue to sow the seed. But the point here is on the soils. And sometimes we get all wrapped up in, well, what does this soil mean and this soil mean? Who's saved? Who's lost? It's really not about salvation. It's about fruitfulness. And here's the thing we want to look at. All of us have the capacity at any given time to be one of these four types of soil. So we're going to break this down over a period of time. We're going to look at just one soil today and the other three in coming weeks, because we're going to really zero in and spend some time on this portrait of love as he talks about the soils in this parable. Let me just read verses 18 and following to you. Follow along in your Bible if you can. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Well, we want to be on the side of fruitfulness, but if we want to be understanding fruitfulness, we need to understand what we need to avoid so that we are unfruitful. So let's go back to that very first soil, and you're going to find out where he says this is the one that the seed was sown on this wayside, you know, the side of the road that was hard and pressed down. If you go back to verse 3 and 4, he gives the original parable and says, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. So this seed never germinates. It's snatched away. It's gone without any product, not even the hint of life. It gets no further. But then in verse 19, he describes it. He says, this one who hears the word, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it. It's not a question of hearing with these ears, but it's a question of an understanding, getting a little deeper into the heart. And because it's no deeper in the heart, Satan has a heyday coming in and just removing that. It's just kind of swept away, carried away like birds carrying off seed that does not penetrate the soil. So in each of these soils, we want to look at a biblical example of that's going to help us understand exactly what that means and how we can avoid it in life. And we just need to understand this. To avoid unfruitfulness, we need to really examine the soil of our hearts. Are we really receiving? Are we really in a position where we're going to be fruitful? Or is there some changes take place? Now today we're going to look at a number of verses to help us illustrate what it means to be a person who the seed does not penetrate the soil. It hits, but it does not penetrate. There's hearing, but not understanding. And we're going to use the picture of a fool that is found in the book of Proverbs. So we're going to look at a number of verses in Proverbs, and I hope you can keep up with the rapid pace we go through this. But I want to begin in chapter 18 of Proverbs, and in 18 verse 2, we sort of have this great definition that's going to help us really understand the truth. And he's going to give us this understanding that there's hearing without understanding. In chapter 18 verse 2, we read these words. The fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. He has no interest. He has no delight. He doesn't get excited about understanding. All he wants to do is just get his own opinion out there. And maybe we've all known somebody, and maybe we have been at times, people who are so enamored with the sound of our own voices that we just want to give our opinion, tell our story, get our thing out there, where we don't really listen. And sometimes we can be so involved in that, we don't really listen to God. We don't let that understanding get into our hearts. So the fool here is defined as someone who doesn't like, doesn't enjoy, doesn't value understanding. And what I want to share with you for the rest of the message is just seven questions to ask to detect as signs of a foolish heart. And I want you to be brave enough, and I want to be brave enough to just ask these questions. I would encourage you to get the printed notes that go along with this message so that you can have them in printed form and refer back to these verses, because there's several we're going to look at. But I'll go with them with you here as we go through this message. But you really might want to have a printed copy to keep for future reference. So first of all, we're going to go to chapter 28 and verse 26. And here we're going to find the first question. Here's the question. Do I self-define right and wrong? Do I self-define right and wrong? Chapter 28, verse 26 says this. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Now, most of these Proverbs, you know, there's always a comparison between the righteous and the foolish and the good and the bad and so forth. So it says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. In other words, do I self-define what is right and wrong? In other words, do I just think it's right, so it's right? I think it's wrong, it's wrong. I think it's indifferent, it's in the indifferent category. Or do I look for a standard that's exterior to me? A fool self-defines it. A fool just says, I'm going to trust in my own heart. I know what I'm doing. I have it all figured out. My opinion is the right one, correct? But God comes along and says, no, we need an exterior look at ourselves. We need a mirror to reflect back. James chapter 1 and verses 23 and 24 reflect that, where it says, a man who's not a doer of the word, doesn't practice it. It's like someone looks in a mirror and then looks away and hadn't corrected his appearance. So he says to us that we need to have understanding, and we need to have not trust in our own heart, because it can be deceitful. It can give us an inflated opinion of ourselves and a deflated opinion of everyone else, when God wants us to hear from the Word of God and say, what does that mean for me? Where am I getting my standard of right and wrong? Is it defined by me, or can I find chapter and verse on it? Have I prayed to the Heavenly Father to say, help me to know here. You speak to me. That's part of having that soil that is not hard and compacted. The wayside soil was one that had just been trampled on by feet and by animals. It was just hard packed. It's sort of like mud asphalt, if you will. It's kind of the road surface. Seed that is scattered out there in the soils, and the one that falls on that, it's just not going to penetrate. It's laying there exposed. It can be snatched away. It doesn't penetrate. We need to allow God's word to penetrate. So ask this question of yourself, and I want to ask it of me. Do I self-define what is right and wrong. If I do, I hate to say it, but it's true, then I'm in the fool category, and so are you. We want to be a soil that when the Word of God touches our hearts, it penetrates deeply, we understand, and we respond. Question number two, do I speak without thought? Do I speak without thought? Proverbs 15:28 gives us this little verse. We read these words. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. James also talks about it. By the way, the book of James sometimes is described as the Proverbs of the New Testament. But in James, he talks about we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So here he's saying the fool just speaks. You know, we've used this terminology. I've used this with you before, but it helps me. And I want to remind myself again today. Stop and think before you speak. And in that gap of thinking, we need to allow God to enter there. Allow the Spirit of God to twist us back into a point of conformity to His Word. Or do we just speak without thought? By the way, usually our first reaction, usually our first thought is not always the best. Because sometimes there's that quick flash of anger or resentment or judgment that's focused on someone else. When we need to have our response to be, how do I need to, how would a Christian respond? How would Jesus respond? What's the Word of God say? It says I need to be slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. And usually we have that completely backward. Here he says the fool just pours out a mouthful, a torrent, if you will, of evil. But the heart of a righteous man studies how to answer, to stop and think. If you're a person that speaks more quickly than your mouth thinks, then maybe that means you have a heart that is not really prepared to respond to God's truth. We need to slow down and listen. Slow down and think. Slow down and not speak so hastily. And in that gap, invite the Spirit of God to speak to us and control us. Question number three, do I seek confirmation from those who agree with me? Proverbs 13:20 is our verse here, where again he makes reference to the fool. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Boy, that's a great statement, isn't it? I want to be wise. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. In other words, if you just hang around with other people that aren't allowing God to speak into your heart, it's going to be destructive to your own life and your own soul. You know, sometimes we shop around until we find people that have our same exact opinions and we hang around with them. Well, that only will take us so far. And not everybody, even if they have a contrary opinion, is going to steer us in the right direction. But if we're only listening to confirm our own bias, we could be in deep trouble. We need the Word of God, and we need the God of the Word to penetrate our hearts and change our opinions, change our feelings, change our deliberate decisions about how we act, what we say, what we do, what we refrain from doing. So sometimes we are just on this human level, finding experts and reading that experts, and we can learn a lot from other people. In a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. I understand that. But we need to make sure we're not just finding people that agree with me and confirm what I've already believe without allowing God to speak to us. That's why it's essential for us every Lord's Day to be in a place where we're studying God's Word online, in person, with other people. We need to be in God's Word. We need to allow God to speak to us. And sometimes hearing that from another voice teaching that, even though that teacher, in this case me, is imperfect, through that other voice you get a different perspective and the Spirit of God can really begin to open things up. So we need to not just be around those who agree with me, but allow God to speak to us. Question number four, do I bristle at correction? Chapter 17, Proverbs 17 and verse 10. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. In other words, a fool is just not receiving correction. When someone corrects you, how do you respond? I can't believe they said about me. We take personal offense. Or we try to deflect it, or we try not to hear it, or we try to change the subject, or we try to self-justify, or we try to blame someone else, tear someone else down. All of those are mechanisms to not receive correction. And you know, when you really study this book, and I want to encourage you to be in God's Word every day. If you really study this book, you come to a place where you're stung, you're corrected. I God calls for me to love my enemies. Well, I'm not even good at loving some of my friends and family sometimes. But God, you call me to love my enemies. I'm stung by that. That's corrective for my heart. I should change my words and my behavior. And sometimes it just takes conscious choice to love someone. It's not necessarily feeling. Hopefully the feelings will come, but I choose to treat that person with respect, with honor, with love in return for whatever I'm getting from them. You know, and sometimes it's just not calling that thing to attention. Love covers the multitude of sins. Just let that go and let it be. But do we bristle at correction? If we do, we're not really receiving what God wants to have, say to us in our hearts, what we need to have in our hearts. We're just like that hard soil. The seed falls and it does not penetrate. It just lays there till it's carried off. Here, but no understanding, no life change, no putting into practice in our lives. And we do need the mirror of the Word of God to reflect that in our lives. I saw a greeting card recently. And it said on the front, it said, "The key to remaining young is to laugh more." And then you open the card, inside the card is a mirror. I don't know whether to laugh or cry about that, but you know, it's like laugh at yourself, look, you know, that sort of thing. So in essence, we sort of, if we want to stay spiritually strong, we need to open the mirror of the Word of God and take a look at ourselves. And maybe we need to do more laugh or cry at what we see, but we need to have correction and allow that correction to come from God Himself. And sometimes that comes through the voice of someone else. Sometimes that can come from even a child speaking to us. Maybe that can come from a friend or even a stranger or a pastor or a spouse. But listen, you know, God can send His voice through some unusual spokespeople and allow Him if it's Him speaking to you. And we need to spend every day in God's Word. I shared with you last week in the last session that I don't believe I really started growing consistently until I had the discipline of being in God's Word every day. And I know life is busy. This morning when I'm recording this, we had house guests and it was like hectic. And Julie and I have devotions in the morning. So we said, before anyone gets out of bed, we're out of bed before everything starts off and fix some breakfast. And I got to get to the office and do what I need to do. We just started the day right now, quickly, get on it, open the Word of God, read it, and then begin to allow God to speak to us. You got to carve out that time. Maybe you need to set that dial, timer, that alarm clock a little ahead, get up a little earlier to have that special time with Him, because we need to have that reflected and not bristle at correction. Okay, number five, do I live in a real world? Proverbs 17 and verse 24. Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. That's Proverbs 17:24. His eyes are on the ends of the earth. Rather than dealing with what my life is all about, what I'm dealing with, he's out there in fantasy land, dreaming big, get rich quick, I'm important, what I could be. God calls us back to reality. By the way, the Word of God calls us back to reality. And we can live in all sorts of dream worlds. There's nothing wrong with entertainment, but if it overtakes us, you know, there, if we get into some fantasy in our mind that's outside of God's will and is distracting us, we need to curb our thoughts and get back to the real world, the real us. And in the real world, we have things that need to change. We have a God who's spoken to us about that change, and we need to have our hearts prepared and pray about this. Lord, prepare my heart. I don't want to be hard-hearted. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be one that just hears the Word of God, but nothing ever changes in my life. I want change from you. I want change to be seen in me. I want to be more Christ-like and less me-like. And we allow that by living in this real world, dealing with the real issues. Sometimes we try to cover our issues. Sometimes we try to compensate for our issues. We don't want other ones to see what we perceive as vulnerabilities. Sometimes we get angry when someone pokes us in an area that we're really feeling insecure about. We need to just take whatever our issue is, whatever our core fear is, whatever our life issues is, whatever our hurts are, and get into the Word of God, allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, and allow Him to make some proactive and some very strong change in our life, because we need to deal with what is real. And what is real is how we are. What is real is what God can do if we allow Him. So the next question is this: do I repeat the same mistakes over and over again? Proverbs 26, verse 11. A dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. A little distasteful there when I first understood that, read that. But notice, it's that going back and repeating the folly over and over again. You feel stuck in life, like I'm just making the same mistakes, not gaining any traction, not moving forward. That might be the sign that I have a foolish heart. I'm hearing God's Word, but I'm not allowing it to get into my understanding. I'm not really taking time to look at myself, to pray over it, to work on it, to make an action plan of how I need to change. I remember there's a verse, Proverbs 15:1, that says, a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, and sometimes when someone's angry at me, I just want to give anger back. But learning that verse years ago, and it took a long time to get this into practice, and still not perfect. But just to put that, I just deliberately chose, whenever I hear an angry response, I'm going to try my best with God's help to give a soft answer, to diffuse the situation, to pour water on the fire rather than throwing the gasoline of anger back on it. And just by having that action plan has really helped me in my relationships, helped me to do better. It'll help you. So coming out with an action plan, not just repeating the same mistake over and over again. There's an old definition of insanity. It's been attributed to Einstein and various people. We don't know exactly where it comes from. First, it was first published in 1981 in a book by Narcotics Anonymous, but it simply says this. There's a definition of insanity: to do the same thing over and over again, but expect a different result. Something's got to change. We're going to get a different result. What needs to change is us. We need to allow the Word of God to speak to us. We need to pray about a heart that's willing to really deal with the issues of our lives and the issues of our heart. And by asking that question, do I repeat the same mistakes over again? It might show I have a foolish heart. You know, sometimes when we read about the fool in Proverbs, we think, oh, that's him. Oh, that's her. That's those people, that group of people over there. Just like we think sometimes of the soil, that it doesn't penetrate. That's someone else. No, this could be us. And by asking these seven questions can help. Last question is simply this. Do I allow emotions to control me? That's Proverbs 27, verse 3, another reference to the fool. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. You want something heavy to weight you down? You want something that's just hard to carry? It's the wrath of a fool, the anger of a fool. And we've all been in situations where there's a lot of emotion. We know how just heavy that is. It's just draining. And sometimes anger, I mean, it's one of those emotions that's, for the most part, almost always, there are some exceptions, but almost always, it is a waste of time. It's a non-productive emotion. Getting angry about something doesn't address the subject. Getting angry about something doesn't fix anything. Getting angry about something doesn't change someone else. It just makes everything worse. So, do I allow emotions to control me, or do I allow God's Word to control me and the Spirit of God who's within me? If we find that I am a person that's just repeating the same thing over and over again, and that repeating over and over again is all emotional response, then something needs to change. So I want to invite you to do a couple things. First of all, be dedicated to reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, until you find an action plan to do something with it. I talked about Proverbs 15:1, about returning, don't give a harsh answer, but give a soft answer when we're in an angry situation. That was part of my action plan. You find something that's going to help you. You read the Word of God until I have something tangible I can take away. This needs to change. Here's what I need to do. And then you secondly then take that immediately to the Lord in prayer. Lord, help me to give that soft answer. Help me not to be overcome by emotion. Help me not to say the same thing and do the same thing over and over again. Help me deal with the real world problems that are me. Help me not to bristle at correction when I'm correction. All these questions that we've already asked. And I've already told you, download the sheet that has all the questions and use that as part of your thought process and part of your evaluative process of your own self. But repeating again, what do? Study the Word of God until you have an action step or an action plan. Here's me, here's what I need to do, here's what I need to change, and here's what I intend to do. And then immediately take that to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, help me with that. Now, we've talked to believers, we've talked about the soil, but you know, it's also possible to be a person that's, the Word of God has never penetrated and it's never got into our heart because you're not saved. If you need the Lord today and you're never trusted Him as Savior, we invite you to contact us. We'd love to talk to you about how you can be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd love to lead you to Him. If you're one of His children, be brave enough to ask these questions to avoid unfruitfulness, because that's the end of this parable that we'll get to as we study these four soils over these weeks together. But we're going to find He wants to produce a wonderful, bountiful harvest of fruitfulness, not just for my glory, but for God's glory, the one who made us. By the way, that's the purpose we're on this planet. That's the purpose that we are called to be His children. And that's what God wants us to do. May God help us to be fruitful. Help us to ask the right questions to avoid the foolishness of unfruitfulness in our lives.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.